As we've been together here on Thursdays for the summer, we've been going through the fruit of the Spirit. Each week, we've been looking at a different fruit that shows up there, these different Christian virtues, and we've been unpacking them in a few different ways. Sometimes we have kind of focused in on a particular passage that teaches us something about that virtue. Other times we've looked at a story that kind of illustrates that virtue. Sometimes we've gone and kind of jumped around different parts of the Bible that talk about that virtue. And that is kind of what we're going to try to do tonight. The one that we're looking at tonight is kindness, which is, I think, on the surface, like, pretty easy to understand. We know what it means to be kind. And yet the interesting thing is the word that shows up here, we'll see in a little bit, it's not all that common of a word in the New Testament. There's 10 times that it shows up. And so we're going to look at most of those instances tonight to try to help us build a definition or an understanding of what is it talking about. What is Paul talking about in Galatians 5 when he urges us to grow in kindness? So we're going to be jumping around to a few different passages in the New Testament as we do that. And I think we'll find some helpful insights as we do. My parents were out here visiting about 2 months ago. And while they were here over lunch one day, we were talking. And I don't remember exactly how the conversation went this direction. But my dad mentioned that he had a rooftop bike rack for his car back in Minnesota that he was trying to sell on Craigslist. He was going to have my brother-in-law sell. And just kind of offhanded, he's like, "You don't want it, do you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I do want it." We had been thinking about getting a bike rack, so I'm like, "Oh, this is great." So my mom says, "Oh, okay, let me text Zach." It's my brother-in-law who is going to be selling it. "Let me text Zach and let him know not to sell it." So she shoots off a text to Zach. Zach replies back and says, "Okay, no worries." And then after lunch, I text him to see if I can get some pictures of it just to make sure it's what I'm looking for. I end up giving him a call. And he's like, "Oh, I'm so glad that your mom texted me when she did, because there was a guy on the way to my house to pick it up. And I called him and I told him not to come." I'm like, "Oh no, Zach, like, you didn't have to do that. Like, I feel so bad for this guy." And he says, no, it's totally fine. I told the guy and he responded. I was like, "Yeah, you don't have to come pick it up. The guy decided to give it to his son instead." And the guy responds by saying, "Oh, better him than me. No worries, have a good day." And that was it. And I was like, "What? Like, who would respond like that? Like, that's such a strange way to that's not how I would respond. That's probably not how most of us would respond. We'd be angry, upset, like, I'm on my way. You promised me this deal." But this guy responded in a different way. And I think when we think of that kind of a response, we might think of that as kind of a picture of kindness. And I think there's something to that. I think there could have been some kindness at play there. But I think a more accurate way to describe his response would be something like niceness or politeness, right? That he wasn't rude. He was just being a nice guy, right? He wasn't reacting. He wasn't like upset and in my brother-in-law's face about this. But I'm not sure that necessarily he was being kind either, because there's a difference between being nice and being kind. Sometimes we think that they're the same things. Right? If we can just be nice to people, if we can just kind of be polite and not really upset anybody and just kind of navigate our relationships, manage the people around us a little bit, and just kind of be nice and well-liked, that maybe we're being kind. And those two words overlap a lot. Those two ideas overlap a lot. But what we're going to see as we look at this idea of kindness tonight, as it's described in the New Testament, is that kindness is not just about being nice. That if you're a nice person, maybe you're also a kind person. But kindness is something different. Kindness is something bigger. Kindness is something harder than just being nice. And so we're going to take a look at a number of different passages throughout the New Testament and try to better understand what then does it really mean to be kind. Like I said, this word that's used here, Christostes, is the Greek word, and it's used 10 times in the New Testament. 6 of those times, it's referring to a characteristic or some kind of action of God. So it's referring to God in some way. God is kind, or he acts with kindness. And then the other 4 times, it's given as a virtue for the people of God. And the fruit of the Spirit is one of those instances. And so, in order for us to understand what the human virtue of kindness means, it's helpful to understand how God's kindness is talked about. Before we jump into that, let me just give you a kind of dictionary definition, or maybe not dictionary like we think of it, but if you look up the word that's used here in a lexicon and it just look for a definition, the kind of words that it would use to describe kindness, Christostes, would be things like goodness or generosity or usefulness or helpfulness. So this word isn't just about kind of an external attitude that we show towards people. We're going to see this word, it goes a bit deeper, and a lot of the nuances of it get at that idea of usefulness, helpfulness, or generosity, that there's something about kindness that has to do with those kinds of things. And so that's going to come out a little bit as we look at some of these passages. So I'm going to read a few different passages for us and kind of jump around a little bit. If you have your Bible or on your phone, if you want to look it up, you can, or you can just listen as I read. So I said that this word is used 6 times in relation to God. 3 of those times happen in the same verse. So we're going to start with that verse. This is Romans 11, 22 is where this word shows up 3 times. The context of Romans 11, 22 is this discussion between Jews and Gentiles. And Paul uses the analogy of an olive tree, and he talks about how there was a natural branch on this olive tree that was Israel. This is the people of God from the days of the Old Testament. But because of the unresponsiveness of the people of Israel to Jesus, that branch has been cut off and a new branch has been grafted in. That's the Gentiles. And so this has to do with relationship between Jew and Gentile and sort of what God is doing in all of this. And so writing to a Gentile audience, Paul says this: "For if God did not spare the natural branches," that's the Israelites that he's talking about, the people of Israel, "if God did not spare the natural branches, neither will he spare you." Branches light up right as that. Perfect. Amazing. So if he didn't spare Israel, he says to the Gentiles, don't just assume that God is also going to spare you. And then in verse 22, he says, "Note then the kindness and severity of God. Severity towards those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness." So there's a contrast that's being made here with the way that God deals with people. On the one hand, there's a severity to the way that God deals with people, and on one hand, there is a kindness to the way that God deals with people. And as we keep reading, what we see that this is very obviously referring to is the two different fates that people have. There are some people who will receive God's judgment, and there are some people who will receive God's salvation. And so the severity of God is those who receive the severity of God are subject to his judgment, but those who receive the kindness of God then also receive salvation. So as God is talked about as being kind or as showing kindness, the primary way that we receive God's kindness, the primary way that we experience God's kindness is through his salvation. That God has been generous to us. God has been useful to us in showing a kind of kindness to us that saves us, that brings us in to his family. But this is sort of the main idea with God's kindness, that he has, in fact, saved us. But then also, at the end of this verse, it says that kindness is available to us provided that you continue in his kindness. So kindness and salvation are not the same thing, but those who receive God's salvation and his kindness through that are then meant to walk in the way of kindness, to follow after God in his kindness. Not in that we give salvation to people, certainly, but that we would reflect the kind of attitude that God had in saving us, a kind of self-giving, generous attitude, benefiting those around you, making yourself useful to those around you, working for the good of those around you. That's what God has done for us in Christ, and then he invites us to follow him down that path of kindness as well. So that's the words that we get in Romans 11. The word also shows up in Romans chapter 2. And so we'll turn back a few chapters to Romans chapter 2. Here again, the context is that of a discussion about Jews and Gentiles. In the first chapter, Paul has set up that Gentiles are sinners, that they are deserving of God's punishment, and he lists off this long list of things that they are guilty of at the end of chapter 1. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetous, malice, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters of God. It goes on and on and on, listing all of these things that Gentiles have done to be deserving of God's wrath. But then in chapter 2, the attention turns back to the Jews, and Paul calls them out. And he says that those very same things, that the Jews were sitting back and looking at the Gentiles, and they were judging them for doing all of these awful things. And Paul says, you're no better off because you do all the same things as well. And then in So he gets at this in verse 3 and into verse 4. He says, do you suppose, O man, kind of talking to the Jewish people, do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? So there's a theme of judgment that we saw before. Then it goes on. Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? Just like we sang about in our song tonight. So, as he turns to the Jewish people who are guilty of judging the Gentiles in their heart, but also engaging in the same activities that they're judging them for, Paul says, don't think that that you can sort of fall back on God's characteristic of kindness. The Jewish people knew God to be a kind God. That's very evident in the Old Testament as well, even though we're not looking at that tonight. He says, don't just presume that because God is a kind God, that he is going to show you mercy. Now, if you act in this way, you actually are walking towards the path of judgment. And then he says, don't presume on God's kindness, because God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. In other words, God has given us this gift of salvation in Christ. He has been generous to us. He has forgiven us. He has shown us mercy. He has given us grace. But the response to that kindness that God has shown us should not be to just think that now we can do whatever we want, because God is just going to continue to extend his kindness. God's just going to continue to show us grace and mercy. And so now we can do whatever we want, right? It doesn't matter whether or not we really follow him. It doesn't matter if we obey his word, because we know God to be a kind God. We know God to be a forgiving God. Paul says, no, don't make that mistake. And he uses a few parallel words here with God's kindness. He says his forbearance and his patience. So these are parallel ideas, that God shows us kindness, but that kindness is a kind of patience, right? That he's waiting for us. He's giving us time to come to him, to turn to him, to turn away from our sin. That's one of the beautiful things about God, right? It's his patience with us, that time after time, as we choose not to follow his way, as we choose to do the things he's told us not to, and not to do the things that he's told us to do, as we've chosen to reject his rule in our lives, that God continues to be patient with us, hoping that when we see that patience, when we see that kindness, that we will then turn from our sin, that we will repent of those things, and that we will follow after his way. So, kindness again here is presented sort of as the opposite of judgment, or the manifestation of salvation. We have judgment on the one hand, we have salvation and kindness and patience on the other hand, and this is the way that God has dealt with us so that we might be drawn to repentance. Okay, let's look at one more instance where kindness is used of God. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 is this great chapter that starts off by telling us that we were dead. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, and that we were on the path to judgment, that we were deserving of God's wrath. But then it turns, and it tells us what is available to us in Christ, and what has been done for us by God through Christ. So the word kindness itself shows up in verse 7, but let me start reading from verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith. So here again, God's kindness is shown as something that intervenes for us. People who were headed for destruction, who were in fact already dead, that in that state, God reached out and he sent us Jesus, he sent us his Son to bring us from death to life. And that act of giving us Jesus and covering us in his grace, not anything that we have done to earn it, but just that gracious act of God of bringing us from death to life in Christ, that is described as God's kindness. So it's pretty clear as we look at these passages that as it relates to God, kindness is primarily what he has done for us in Christ. But that's what we know kindness to be. That's the model of kindness that we have. The kind of attitude, the kind of action that stirred God to send his own Son to earth to live, and we're going to look at him in just a minute. We're going to look at Jesus and what he did on earth. But the way that Paul talks about it is that the death and resurrection of Christ is God's foremost act of kindness towards us, giving us salvation in Christ, completely free, full of grace, nothing that we could do to earn it. I want to take the next few minutes to look at, or to talk a little bit about some of the things in the Gospels. This word doesn't actually show up anywhere in the Gospels, but as Paul points to the death of Jesus as the prime example of God's kindness, the Gospels show us the kindness of God in the person of Christ. And there's a number of different ways that we do this. Even though it's never explicitly described as kindness, it's very clear that this is what Jesus is fully characterized by this idea of kindness. So, think with me. All of Jesus' actions on earth, everything that Jesus did while he was on earth, can kind of be simplified into a few different categories of things, at least during his ministry, the three-year period that we read about in the Gospels. We read about a lot of Jesus' teachings. Right? We think of the Sermon on the Mount. We think of the parables. We think of the sermons in John. That a lot of what Jesus did is preach, that he would gather crowds together and he would teach them. And this, I think, is an act of kindness by Jesus. Because think back to sort of the root idea behind the word kindness. It has to do with usefulness, helpfulness, generosity. And certainly Jesus showed those things by giving his life for us, but also by coming to give us his word, by teaching. He taught things that were useful. He taught things that were beneficial. Right? But so oftentimes we don't think of Jesus' teachings maybe as useful or beneficial. It can be easy to think of them as requirements, as things that we're supposed to do in order to please God. But that's not at all what Jesus is trying to do in his teaching. He's not trying to set up a list of things for us to follow so that we can be pleasing to God. In his teaching, he's trying to do the same thing that he was doing in his death and resurrection. He's giving us the words of life. He's trying to lead us in the path of life, take us from a place of being dead into a place of life. That's what Jesus is trying to do with his words. And so the words of Jesus are an example of Jesus' kindness to us. So on the one hand, Jesus, a lot of what he did was teach. Another large category of things that Jesus did while he was on earth was perform miracles, right? We read a lot about miracles in the New Testament. Most of them are physical healings. There are certainly others that happen. And these, too, are examples of Jesus' kindness. We see Jesus being useful to people, being helpful to people, being generous to people in his miracles, in restoring health to those who have it, who didn't have it, in turning water into wine, in feeding the 5,000, right? These are all acts of generosity by Jesus, usefulness by him, of him making himself beneficial to those people around him. And so Jesus' miracles are very much about Jesus' kindness. A third category of things that we see Jesus doing is just interacting with people in smaller groups. He teaches them in large groups, he heals them, and then he interacts with people one-on-one or in small groups. And as we see Jesus doing this, again, we see his kindness. Because as Jesus interacts with people, the thing that we see over and over and over and over again is Jesus' radical inclusion of those who were outside, or thought they were outside, or had been told that they were outside. We think of the lepers that Jesus interacted with. We think of the Samaritan woman at the well. All sorts of examples of people who were thought to be unclean, who were thought to be outcasts, who were on the outside. And as Jesus would interact with these people, he would pull them in. He would say, no, you too are a part of the kingdom of God. And he would care for people, and he would love them, and he would show them affection. And this, too, is the kindness of Jesus, right? Of having an attitude of not exclusion or not trying to hold on to something and keep it for himself and for those close to him, but of giving away himself, giving away his time, giving away even his dignity, by the people that he interacted with one-on-one and in small groups. So, all throughout Jesus' ministry, we can see that Jesus is the physical and tangible expression of God's kindness. So Jesus shows us God's kindness in his life, God shows us his kindness to us in Christ through his death and resurrection, which gives us salvation. And we're invited now to walk on the way of kindness, this path of kindness. So what does that look like then for us to be kind? What does it look like for us to have this attitude, this characteristic, this virtue of kindness? Well, as we think about this, let me read a couple more passages. I'm really just going to read them. We're not going to comment much on them. Where kindness shows up as a human virtue in the New Testament, it shows up in lists, like the fruit of the Spirit. It's just kind of one thing that's listed off among a number of things that Christians are supposed to be characterized by. And so one of those lists comes in 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read verses 3 through 8. And this is Paul, the apostle, writing, describing the attitude of the apostles. But then it's given to us as an example to follow as well. So this is how Paul describes the attitude of the apostles. He says, and the reason I want to read through these whole lists is because kindness is not meant to be something that we sort of tackle in isolation. It overlaps with a lot of other virtues, and so they kind of come at us in lists because they're overlapping categories. So here's what we find here. We put no obstacles in anyone's way. This is Paul talking about the apostles. The apostles put no obstacles in anyone's way so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger. So he lists this long, that we endure through all of those things. And now he starts to list off some characteristics that also characterize them during this endurance. By purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, with the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through praise and slander. And so kindness doesn't stand out in that list as anything kind of out of the ordinary, but just comes as part of the way that the life of the apostles and then the life of the people of God is supposed to look. Purity, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God. So that helps inform our thinking about what this human virtue of kindness is supposed to be. Another one of these lists comes in Colossians 3. I'm going to read verses 12 through 14. Instead of a description, this comes to us as a command. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, passionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So again, kindness shows up in there towards the beginning of the list. Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. And then all of these kind of summed up in the idea of love. So some of these help us understand what it means for us to walk in the way of kindness. And then, of course, another example of this is the passage we've been considering this summer. We haven't read it for a few weeks because we're just looking at one word at a time. But let me read it for us again. The fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So hopefully those things give us a sense by the descriptive words that are around it of kind of what this idea of kindness looks like. And so I want to summarize, try to leave us with a couple of tangible examples. As we think about wanting to grow in kindness, what types of things would we want to incorporate in our lives as we seek to grow in kindness? The first thing is that we need to be looking to God's example of kindness to us. If we have not understood the kindness that God has shown us in Christ, if we have not spent time in the Gospels getting to know the person of Jesus and his kindness that we see there, if we're not steeped in a deep understanding of God's kindness towards us and how this is built into his character, then we're off to a bad start. It's going to be hard for us to try to implement this idea of kindness in our lives if we first haven't received that kind of kindness from God. So I think that's where we want to start, is with looking to the kindness of God and understanding that. Also, to then look at some of the ways that Jesus is kind in particular, because we can't emulate exactly the kind of kindness that God showed us in Christ. We can't offer salvation to anyone. But when we look at the person of Jesus, we can very much emulate the kind of kindness that we see there. And so if we think about the three categories of things that we talked about with Jesus, Jesus taught as a way of kindness, right? And so we have an opportunity to use our words to bring life to people around us, right? By giving wise counsel, by giving encouragement, by pointing people to Christ, pointing people to the kindness of God, by including people in like we saw Jesus doing, by praying for people. All of these are bound up in the idea of kindness. If we want to grow in kindness, we need to practice using kindness with our words. Also, we probably haven't performed a lot of miracles in our lives. I don't know about you. I haven't. But when we look at the miracles of Jesus, we can learn something about how we ought to be kind to others, right? The miracles that Jesus performed had multiple functions. A major one was to just point to him and show there was something different about him. But also, in every case, these miracles were Jesus stepping into a situation where there was a need. There was pain. There was sickness. There was hurt. There was rejection. There was some kind of need, and Jesus would see that need, and he would step into it in a supernatural way. Oftentimes, both Jesus' teaching, actually, and his miracles are preceded by saying that Jesus looked at people and he had compassion on them. So he taught them, or so he healed them. And so we can have that same kind of attitude. We can be looking for people around us, people who are hurting, people who are rejected, people who have some kind of need, and ask ourselves, how can I step in and meet that need? How can I make myself useful to that person? How can I be generous to that person? That's what it means to be kind in that situation, to look around, to assess where are the needs, and how might I be able to step in and help to meet that need. And the last thing I would say is, as we go about this journey towards kindness, as we seek to grow in kindness, is kind of coming back to our passage for tonight, remembering that this is a fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are things that are supposed to just sprout up in the life of the believer as a result of a vibrant relationship with the Holy Spirit. These are not things that we are supposed to just dig down and find within us the strength to grow in, but this is the work of the Spirit coming into our lives and doing something in us. And so as we seek to grow in kindness, the best way to do that is just to ask that the Holy Spirit would come in and would do a mighty work in our lives so that we could emulate the kind of kindness that God has shown to us. And so we'll have a chance in our discussion groups in just a minute to try to break that down a little bit more and ask, evaluate a little bit, how are you at being kind in the way that we're talking about it tonight? And then how might you be able to grow in that kindness in your life in particular? So kindness is not just niceness, right? It's pretty easy to be nice. If we just try to be nice, we can put on a smiley face, and we can offer polite remarks to people, and I think it's within our power to be nice. But to be kind is something totally different. To be kind is something that comes from God, that God has shown us first and foremost, and that requires the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so I hope that together as a community, we can, yes, be a nice community. We want to be nice people. But more than that, that by the grace of God, we could be kind people as God has been kind to us. So Lord, we thank you that you have in fact been so kind to us, that you have shown us that kindness in Christ, in his life, in his teaching and miracles, the way he loved people and cared for people, but then also in his death, that he died for us, the ultimate sacrifice. We thank you for that, Lord Jesus. We thank you for that act of kindness, unimaginable kindness. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us grow in kindness, that we would be able to, in big ways and in small ways, become people who reflect this characteristic that is very much a part of your character and also given to us as something that we ought to emulate as well. So Spirit, we pray that you would do this in us, and that even tonight during our discussion groups, that you would stir up ways in which we might be able to grow in this way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.